Hi, this is Susie Larson, and thank you so much for listening to Live the Promise today. Our website is filled with even more powerful and encouraging interviews. Learn more by logging on to myfaithradio.com. Thanks for tuning in today. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise. It's hour two, in fact. So if you just tuned in, you missed, oh my goodness, an amazing first hour conversation with our friend Sarah Groves, national recording artist, and Bethany Huang of International Justice Mission. We had a passionate, powerful talk about God's heart for justice, about some of the issues, justice issues in the world, how God feels about them, and what he wants us to do about them. So if you missed it, you got to go back and catch the podcast. It'll be up on our website in just a bit, myfaithradio.com. And this is one of those times I really want you to be a radio missionary. When that podcast gets up, share it with your friends. So few people really know what's going on in the world. And you know what? As God invites us each to take part, to be a part of what he's doing in the world, he gives us grace to carry that portion of the burden. And so as you share and you inform people what God is doing and what God is tending to, you become a radio missionary. So I pray that you'll do that, especially with our first hour. We've got another second hour, great hour up ahead here. Kristen Ditchfield is joining us in just a moment. I got to tell you, oftentimes Grace and I are behind the scenes praying and asking God, you know, what topics do you want us to address? Well, perseverance came up for us. We just thought this is something many, many of you are in the battle, walking through the valley of the shadow. And when we talked about that, Kristen Ditchfield was one that came up to both Grace and I, and we thought, this is one that we're going to get her on just to talk about her story. She's an author and a radio host, but she's personally got some things to say about perseverance, and you'll hear why. And I'm praying that when you're done with this hour, you're going to leave encouraged and equipped with a new understanding of who God is and who you are to him and what is possible even in the valley. So let me tell you about my guest, and we'll get her on the show. Kristen Ditchfield's an author, conference speaker, and syndicated radio host, passionate about calling women to a deeper life. She's the author of more than 65 books, including A Way with Words and What Women Should Know About Facing Fear. You can find her on the web at takeittoheartradio.com. Kristen, welcome back to the program.
Oh, it's so great to be with you. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. Before we get into the conversation about perseverance, if you wouldn't mind, I'm wondering if there's a verse you can share with us these days, either a life verse or just one that you've been pondering a little bit.
You know, there's a verse that I first learned to love as a teenager, and I find it so significant even today. It's in 2 Corinthians 4:16 to 18. Therefore, we do not lose heart, though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen, since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal.
That is a powerful verse, and it sounds like you almost did that from memory.
One of the first verses I memorized.
Wow, it's powerful.
And, you know, I thought I understood it then, but it's become sweeter and richer and deeper to me as the years have gone by.
Well, talk about some of the aspects of that passage and just some of your takeaways as the years have gone by.
Well, you know, outwardly we are wasting away. As the years go by, our bodies begin to fall to pieces, and mine has fallen to pieces more than I could have imagined, you know, with health struggles and challenges. And yet inwardly our strength can grow. Inwardly our relationship with the Lord, our character, our inner woman can grow, and our love for him, our knowledge of him, our understanding of who God is and what he who he's created us to be can grow. And we begin to understand, you know, when I was younger, my grandmother and her friends used to always talk about how they couldn't wait to get to heaven. And I would think, what is the rush? You know, there are some things that are only for this life, and I want to experience them all. I mean, I love you, Lord, but, you know, I would just wonder why they were just so excited about heaven. But the older I get and the more the more I see why. For one thing, I love Jesus a whole lot more than I did as a teenager, but also I see more of the suffering. I see more of the hardship. I see more of the injustice in the world. I was listening during the first hour to your conversation with Sarah and Bethany, and just knowing what's going on in the world, I see the hurts and heartaches that my friends and family go through, and the things that I myself have been through, and my battles with sin, and I, you know what? I find my heart crying out, come, Lord Jesus. I can't wait to be free and to be in his presence and to experience that eternal glory that is going to so outweigh all of this. So that's just a little bit of what that verse has begun to mean to me.
Wow, Kristen, I appreciate that so much. If you wouldn't mind, share what the last handful of years have been like for you, what you've been dealing with that's really been really taught you about perseverance.
Well, just on a physical level, it's been a challenge. I was still in my late 20s when I started having some physical pain that, believe it or not, back then I thought was me just getting old. Some aches and pains that turned out to be chronic pain, some knee pain. That I ended up having some surgeries for. And the doctor thought that maybe I would have this one surgery on the one knee and then we would do the other knee, and that would hold off a knee replacement because I was much too young to have a knee replacement. Well, the one surgery didn't go so well, and I ended up having 6 surgeries that involved bone grafts and big 4-inch screws, one after the other after the other. And I ended up being on bed rest for the better part of 2 years. And things just went horribly wrong. And at the end of it, I was no better off than I had been at the beginning. I was still in terrible pain. We never even got to the other knee. I had all kinds of other health issues in the meantime. I had my gallbladder out. I had several other emergency surgeries during that time. And I ended up just having this terrible knee pain for 12 years. It's a condition that makes it really painful for me to sit, you know, to have my knees bent. So like going to a movie or sitting in a restaurant or, you know, any of those kind of typical when people have knee pain, it's, you know, don't jog or don't run. But for me, even just sitting is painful, sitting at my desk. So the most comfortable I am is when I have my legs stretched straight out in front of me, and it's been 12 years. And, you know, after a while, the screws were starting to really bother me, and I had to have a surgery to have those come out. And then last year, I thought my knees were started to act up and thought it was the same pain, but then it started to feel a little funny, and it turned out I had broken the top of my shin bone near where the knee is, kind of like a stress fracture. And so I was on crutches for 4 months again. And I got off crutches just in time. I was celebrating. I was so excited. And 2 months later, I was getting ready to speak at a women's conference, about ready to head out of town, packing my suitcases, and suddenly felt that familiar pain. And you know what? I had broken that same bone a second time. And so I was on crutches a total of 8 months last year. Out of the 12. And then this year, the pain started again as soon as Christmas was over. So I'd barely been walking like 3 weeks. And I had another MRI, and it turns out it's not broken, but that pain that I've been living with the last 12 years, that kind of constant chronic pain, has just gotten to the place I've got such bad arthritis that even though I'm about 10 years too young for a knee replacement, my doctor's thrown up his hands and said, okay, we can't stall this anymore. So as soon as we can pull some of the details and the scheduling together, I'm due to have a knee replacement. So that's just a little bit of some of the physical problems that I've been dealing with the last few years. And boy, being in that kind of pain, that's a small scale. I am constantly reminded of that. Anybody, if you've ever had a physical illness, and I know, Susie, you have, the constant round of doctor's appointments and pain medications and side effects and surgeries, and you realize how much that can affect your spirit, how much that can weigh on you. And so for people who have much more serious illnesses, much more life-threatening illnesses, you know, you learn a whole new level of compassion.
You so do. I appreciate you sharing that story. All the while, you're writing books and speaking and trying to do life. And there is that juxtaposition of the reality of your own pain, which is your pain, and it does wear on you, and the reality of suffering of, you know, you can sometimes gain perspective from the sufferings of others, but you can also sometimes feel diminished by our own doing when we consider, you know, the issue of human trafficking, like we were just talking about, when in reality, God is near to you in your brokenheartedness, in your broken bones. He's near to you in these months of just, because you can't get away from yourself when you're sick. That's the tricky thing. Even with hard relationships, as hard as they are, you can go sit on a hill, put on some music, and just have a moment. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But that's what I used to feel like when I was really, really sick, going, everywhere I go, there I am. And so there was no getting away from it. And you know what I'm saying?
Well, you know, when I was a little girl, I read stories about people like Helen Keller or even Johnny Erickson-Tada. And I so admired how deep and spiritual they were that I kind of wished that something would happen to me. I know this is crazy, but I thought, you know, that if I had some sort of physical disability, that maybe I would be really spiritual like they are. And it was such a shock to me to realize that physical limitations and pain and disability didn't magically make me spiritual. What it did is make me really cranky and irritable.
Mm-hmm.
I don't feel all spiritual and loving. I just feel cranky. I just feel selfish. I just feel, you know, I'm angry and upset and annoyed, and I don't like being dependent on other people for help. And then when I get help, I feel selfish because I want it the way I want it, and, you know, I'm not always grateful. But you know what? I'll bring it back to this, though. God has used it in some amazing ways in my life. I wasn't always grateful for it, but I'm learning to be. And I am truly grateful for the things that he's used pain and physical pain to teach me, even though it wasn't this kind of lofty spiritual experience I thought it was going to be.
So tell me this, Kristen. Let's talk for just a moment before we take our first break. What were some of the worst places, the questions that you had for God, the perspectives that you battled with?
Wow. I think there's a lot of fear. You know, I don't know how I can go on. I don't know how I can keep living like this. If this is my life, if this is the rest of my life, you know, just that fear and dread of not getting any better and not knowing what to do and not having any answers and what will the future look like. I think that's a big fear, and I think a lot of us wrestle with that. I think feeling pointless and insignificant, because I do think sometimes we glorify certain types of suffering.
Yeah.
In our hearts and in our imagination. Or, you know, when we're watching it in the movies, it looks so noble. But when we're going through it ourselves, it doesn't feel very noble. And sometimes we kind of question, well, this just feels so pointless. It just feels so meaningless. It just feels so empty. And I don't know why I'm going through this. And where is God? Why would he allow this to happen over and over again? So some of those places that I've been through, and just questioning what he was going to do with this and how he was going to use this, and you know, why I couldn't handle it better, why I wasn't being more spiritual about it, why I didn't have more faith. I think those are some of the dark places that I went to.
Well, we're going to take a quick and short break, very short, so don't go away. I'm talking to Kristen Ditchfield, and if you've got questions about how to persevere in the valley, how to get perspective. On the other side, Kristen's going to share how she really wrestled this thing to the ground to find places of treasures in the dark places. And maybe you're someone who has persevered and you've learned some things. Tell us what you know. 877-933-2484, 877-933-2484, or email me, Susie, at myfaithradio.com. Don't go away. More on perseverance with Kristen Ditchfield in a moment.
You're the strength of my heart. You're the strength of my heart. You're the strength of my heart. You're the strength of my heart.
If you are in a place where you need some encouragement, that song is worth the 99 cents. That's Ren Collective, Strength of My Heart. One of the lines in that song is, your love keeps holding on. I want you to picture that. He's got you. His love keeps holding on. Thanks for tuning in. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise. Talking to my friend Kristen Ditchfield. She's an author, speaker, radio host. We're talking about the issue of perseverance, and she's gracious enough to join us just to talk about this from personal experience. And before the break, Kristen, you were talking about these multiple 12 years of battling knee surgeries, broken bones, just this perpetual pain and hardship around your leg and your knee and walking and, oh my goodness, and the other health things that surround that. And I asked you about just where some of the hardships around that. Now tell us, if you would, just glimpses of glory, if there were anywhere. God sort of opened the sky for a moment and gave you a perspective or insight on your suffering.
There have been so many. There are so many. There have been some really special experiences, a few that come to mind. I remember one time getting to speak at a women's retreat, and I remember being very self-conscious because I had to be helped up the platform with my crutches, and I was hopping up on the stage. And I started talking for the first 5 or 10 minutes, which I didn't intend to do, kind of explaining and apologizing for myself and explaining what would have been happening. And then I started talking about how I was trying to write down one positive thing every day, because I had known that if I didn't concentrate on one good thing every day, that I was going to go into a really dark place. So I had bought a calendar, and every day I was trying to write one good thing that happened on the calendar. Well, wouldn't you know that after that, after I got done speaking, after the main session, 8 different women came up to me on crutches from that one
wow.
conference that had all broken bones or been ill or were about to have surgery, and every one of them needed to hear. And there I was, embarrassed and apologizing and flustered, but God used it because I needed to be there in that condition for that moment. Mm-hmm. And that happened to me so many times, where because I was in a really dark place, because I was really struggling, I reached out. I found a lifeline somewhere in Scripture. God ministered to my heart something that He gave me that I was then able to share with someone else, who shared it with someone else, who shared, you know, we comfort others with the comfort we ourselves have received. So that's been a huge part of my journey. But another part that, gosh, God's really used, and I'm just going to be really transparent here. You know, my friend sent me a scripture from Hosea 6:1 that says, "Come, let us return to the Lord. He has torn us to pieces, but He will heal us. He has injured us, but He will bind up our wounds." We were talking about our heart idols, the idols of our heart, and the places that we turn to for comfort and strength. And one of the things that God has done, especially in these repeat battles, I mean, I thought I had been here, done this. I mean, I've done this so many times. I've been on bed rest for years of my life. I added up the number of times I've not been able to walk on my leg at all. I've not been able to put any weight on my right leg. Comes out to over 3 years of my life.
Wow.
And I thought, Lord, I don't think there's anything I have left to learn about this, right? Haven't we been down this road? But the one thing that He keeps bringing me back to is, when I am in pain, where do I go for comfort? When I'm overwhelmed, where do I go for refuge? Where do I go for strength? When I'm at the end of my rope, and I'm ashamed to say that too many times, it's not to Him. There are other places I look. Maybe I spend, you know, I watch my favorite movies. I go online shopping. I do, you know, I reach for those Oreos. Whatever I do, things that are not maybe bad in and of themselves, and it's okay sometimes to just relax. But if I'm turning to things other than Him for comfort and strength, those things become idols to me. And so He's been using my pain to over and over again to continually drive me to my knees, to where I am confronted with how desperately I need Him. And I am so grateful. And if I had to do this 1,000 times over, I would do it. I would go through this if that's what it takes to get my attention and get my heart where it needs to be so that I make Him my refuge.
Wow. Thank you, Kristen, for sharing that. And, you know, being in ministry, the show kind of has to go on, for lack of a better phrase. So it forces you to get up and get at it. And I've had the same kind of thing, where sometimes that's a double bind in that. It's the output is so hard when you're feeling so torn on the inside, but it's a grace because it calls you so to draw on the things of God. Now, when people that aren't in the kind of ministry that you and I are, it's probably easier to isolate, but it's not good to isolate. I just want you to say a word about that, because, you know, even in the places of despair, I mean, that's different than resting and just having some downtime, but isolating when you are just in such despair, when you're hurting, actually just, it makes you a sitting duck for the enemy to bring in such discouragement. So I want you to talk maybe to that person who's struggling. What can they do so that they're not isolating, so that they're actually ministering? Because I think for me, I have to say, ministering out of that place actually taught me something about perseverance. So, and I so don't want this to sound like an ought to or a should do. I really don't. But there's something wise about not isolating and also keeping a perspective on the sufferings of others at the same time. What do you say?
Absolutely, absolutely. I think one of the worst things we can do is withdraw. I mean, like you said, there's a difference between resting. Sometimes we need to just be held. We need to just allow Jesus to hold us. Sometimes we can't do another thing, and that's okay. But I think you know the difference. I think those who are listening, you know the difference when you're withdrawing, when you're isolating yourself. And God's not created us to live in isolation. He's provided community for us. We need to share what we're going through. We need to be surrounded by those who can share the journey with us. And it doesn't have to look a certain way. You know, maybe it's your church community, or maybe it's your family, or maybe it's just a couple of trusted friends, or maybe it's an online community. You know, those who struggle with chronic illness or chronic physical problems, oftentimes online is a great place to find it. But wherever that community is, wherever those friends are, wherever you can find them, yes, be involved in the lives of others, because self-pity is a big challenge. And starting to feel like you're in my family, we tease each other about competing in the Martyr Olympics, you know, who's suffered the most, who's struggled the most. And that can be a really unhealthy thing. Yeah. If we end up focusing on our own problems and our own suffering and feel like we're all alone. But connecting with others and ministering to others and encouraging others and sharing just what we're going through is so powerful, not only because it helps them, but because it helps us. It brings us to a place of healing.
We've got about 2.5 minutes before our bottom of the hour break, and I'm wondering if you would touch on the story that you told in a recent blog post of a young Christian in Korea and how she persevered in her circumstances. Tell a little bit about her story.
I was reading about a young Korean missionary years ago who prepared for suffering and persecution that she knew was coming, not by resting up, but by denying her flesh, by beginning to fast, by beginning to give up the comforts of home. She started sleeping on the floor so that when she went to prison for her faith, it wouldn't be so much torture for her to sleep on a cold cell floor. She started giving up things, and she started memorizing scripture so that she would have the word when she didn't have access to her Bible. She started toughening herself up and strengthening herself so that she could fight those battles. And I shared about that on my blog because I thought, you know, so many times we get discouraged and we just want to kind of curl up in a ball, when what we need to do is kind of strengthen our spirits and look ahead and say, okay, how can I begin to prepare myself? What battles can I fight today so that if harder battles come, I've got the strength to stand?
Mm. And that's why it's worth, again, not at all in a legalistic way, but to look at what are you drawing for, to what are you looking to for strength that's actually weakening you? Because we short-circuit that spiritual growth when we medicate, when God's saying, here's an opportunity to see my strength come to bear. And so it's not a condemnation thing, but it's really, truly, you have an opportunity to tap into the life source of God in those places, and that only makes you stronger. It doesn't weaken you, right?
Absolutely, absolutely. You know, the scripture talks about perseverance and character and how they're intertwined and how character produces hope. And if we don't take advantage of these opportunities to grow that character, grow that perseverance, we miss out on that hope.
Mm. And this is what you wrote in the blog. You said, I like to think I would stand strong for Jesus in something big. And honestly, big things are sometimes easier, if only because their significance is more obvious. But what if one day I go to stand when it counts and my legs have lost their strength from all the sitting I've been doing on the little things? And we have to take a short break here. But when we come back, I want you to just spend some time unpacking what that looks like. What does it look like to sit down on the little things? And maybe this is an invitation to stand up, to rise up. Talking to Kristen Ditchfield. Welcome your questions or even your comments on the issue of perseverance. 877-933-2484. 877-933-2484. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
need the waters parted to know who made the way. And I don't need a healing to know who is the cure of this, I'm sure.
Thanks for tuning in. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise, talking to author, speaker, radio host Kristen Ditchfield about the issue of perseverance. And Kristen has walked through 12 years of medical issues around bad knees and broken bone issues, screws, plates, you name it, and talking about how to find God in the midst of suffering and to find him to be who he says he is. Welcome your calls and comments, 877-933-2484. Steve's calling in from Hastings, Minnesota. Steve, welcome. You're on the air.
Hi, thank you.
Mm-hmm. You have a question or comment today?
I have a comment. I, too, have suffered with pain for the majority of my life, migraines, and I've had to have both hips replaced. I'm 55, and I've had to have both hips replaced because of birth defects. I've had two back fusion surgeries in the lower part of my back because I have degenerative disc disorder, and now I've just found out that I have three vertebrae in my neck that have gotten compacted because of this disc disorder now is affecting my neck. And I have been going on occasion for prayer, go up for prayer in our church, and I was feeling like, okay, and I've prayed for this, I've asked for healing, and maybe I'm not to be healed. Maybe like Paul, that I just have to live with this, you know. And one of the last times I had gone forward for prayer, the deacon that was going to pray with me, I explained it to him, and I felt maybe I shouldn't come forward anymore. And I was starting to get kind of depressed. And he said, let's stop right here. Let me ask you first. Has the Lord told you that he is not going to heal you? And I said, no. And he goes, okay, well, so this is not like Paul. The Lord says, ask and seek and knock.
Yeah.
And the way it is, he explained, the way that that is written in the Bible is in a tense where it means keep asking, keep seeking, keep knocking. And then we prayed. And, I mean, I just had this comfort that came over me. And, you know, the truth is the pain hasn't changed. As a matter of fact, it's at times gotten worse. But I know at some time, in his time, the Lord is going to heal me in the way he wants it done. And it may mean another fusion down the road. I don't know. But I trust the Lord that he's going to heal me and he's going to take care of this.
Steve, I just want to, first of all, I'm going to ask Kristen to pray for you if it's okay with you. Is that all right?
Oh, yes. No,
okay.
That'd be fine.
But I'm wondering if, Kristen, if there's anything you want to say as you're listening to Steve's story.
Well, you know, my heart goes out to you, Steve. You've been through a lot more than I have, but just the tiny taste of it that I've had, the experience of it that I've had, it just gives me a sense of the incredible amount of pain that you're in. And I so appreciate your heart to continue to knock and continue to seek and continue to pray, because I believe you're right. I believe God does heal us, and we don't know how he's going to do that. You know, people come up to me all the time and ask me if they can pray for me. And every time they do, I say absolutely, because I don't know if God might choose to miraculously heal me. And if he does, you know, please, you know, I'm here, I'm ready. I'm happy for him to do that. But if he doesn't choose to heal me miraculously on the spot, if he chooses to use one of these surgeries to do it, if he chooses to use my wonderful Christian doctor who's doing his best for me, or if he chooses to heal me in the presence of Jesus, one way or another, I know that I'm in his hands. And it sounds like, Steve, you know that too.
Yes, I do.
Okay, Steve, well, if you don't mind, I've received that same thing, Kristen, at retreats. Women want to pray for me all the time just for the residual impact of what I'm dealing with from Lyme's disease. And I, too, am open. Lord, I'll take it any day. I'm going to err on the side of faith. I'm not going to get jaded or despair. I'm going to keep walking, keep believing, keep trusting, and then steward what I can with what he's given me. I hear that's what you're saying as well. But even so, since Steve called, I just feel the nudge that we should pause and pray. So those listening, if you would, you know, just join your hearts with us as we lift our brother up to the Lord. And Kristen, if you wouldn't mind, that'd be great.
Sure. Lord Jesus, I thank you so much for Steve and for his life and for the work that you have done in him and through him. Lord, I thank you for his faith and his desire to seek you, his desire to honor you. Lord, I just pray that you would bring healing to him. Lord, I pray that you would touch his body and that you would bring relief from this pain. Lord, I pray that you would comfort him and strengthen him from the inside out and that you would give him an extra measure of your grace and peace, that you would fill him with hope by the Holy Spirit. Lord, we pray that if it be your will, that you would miraculously and supernaturally heal him from the top of his head to the tip of his toes, and that he would be a new man. Mm. Lord, if you choose to use surgical means or medications or other therapies or interventions, that you would do that. And if the day you choose to bring his complete and full healing is in your presence, that you would do that. But either way, we entrust our brother to your care, and we pray that you would just continue to give him a special sense of your presence, that he would know you and the power of your resurrection and the fellowship of your suffering, and that he would experience you in new and increasing ways, and that he would be closer to you than he has ever been in these moments, and that he would just sense your presence in ways that comfort him and strengthen him and give him hope. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you.
Thank you, Steve. Thanks for calling. God bless you. I'm going to remember you, and I'll be praying as the Lord brings you to mind.
Mm. Oh, thank you very much.
Mm-hmm. Bless
you. Bless you.
It's something I've been just erring on the side of faith. I mean, because I don't understand. I'm sure you've heard all the theology and all the people's opinions around healing. And my son had a miraculous medical miracle around a serious back injury. I, on the other hand, walking day by day by day.
Yeah.
And I just think you do see both. You know, I know godly women who died, who were sick, who were not lacking faith. But I just, as long as there's breath in my lungs, I want to err on the side of faith. And Kristen, I pray pretty regularly for our listeners that those who are living in depression, that someday, some way, they would wake up and that blanket of heaviness would be lifted, you know, and the sick would be made well, and the lame, that you would do a dance, you'd jig, and you would not feel any pain anymore. I'm just going to ask, and I'm going to keep asking till I see him. I'm just going to. So anyway.
That's right. Yeah. I'm right there with you, sister.
Yeah. All righty. So this I want to read again that I thought was so interesting. You said, I like to think I would stand strong for Jesus in something big. And honestly, big things are sometimes easier, if only because their significance is more obvious. But what if one day I go to stand when it counts and my legs have lost their strength from all the sitting I've been doing on the little things? Unpack that, what that looks like. And just so that we can be conditioned, because we are entering a day, I believe, in this nation where it is going to cost us something to stand for Christ. And if we've been doing a whole lot of sitting, we might just want to look at that if God's inviting us to stand where it counts. What do you say?
Yeah. Well, you know, I was thinking about when I wrote this because, you know, physical problems have been a challenge for me, but sometimes I think more of the emotional and personal and spiritual challenges that I've been through as bigger obstacles. And I look at my life and the struggles I've been through, and then you read these things in the news, these Christians around the world who are being tortured and persecuted and killed for their faith. And you wonder, you see that coming for us and wonder what's going to happen and how this is all going to unfold. And we all like to think that if the day came when it was to deny the Lord or be imprisoned or be executed for our faith, that we would say, you know, go ahead, take my life. I'm never going to deny the Lord. If we were in prison, we would be singing like Paul and Silas, right? That we would be praising the name of Jesus and leading all the prisoners in a Bible study like the Ten Booms, right? This is how we kind of hope and pray that we would be. But I think about that, and I have to wonder, if I can't get out of bed in time for my quiet time when I've been well rested, and there's coffee waiting for me, what makes me think that I would read my Bible and pray in prison?
Mm-hmm.
You know, if I can't turn the channel on that TV show when the Holy Spirit is convicting me that I should not be watching that filth, And I don't say this in condemnation. I say this to keep it real, okay?
Yeah,
just
exactly.
Keeping it real. This is the way I talk to myself, and it's the way Jesus talks to me. If I can't turn the channel when I know I shouldn't be watching that garbage, what makes me think that I'm going to have the strength of character to stand up for my faith when it's going to cost me something? I like to think about standing up for Jesus, but if I can't deny my flesh, if I can't put away that second piece of pie, it's all well and good to talk about fasting and praying and you know, standing strong under persecution. But I jokingly say I can't read my Bible without my cup of coffee in the morning because I need that fresh aroma and that cream and sugar to get me going.
Mm.
But, you know, we're talking about, extreme conditions. Well, when you're hungry, like we talked about earlier, when you're hungry, when you don't feel good, when you aren't well rested, when you're in pain, when you're suffering, it's really hard to do the right thing. I mean, think about how nasty you are when you've been Christmas shopping for 4 hours and your blood sugar drops. Well, how are you going to stand up for Jesus and be all loving and noble and kind and right to the other prisoners? This is what I'm saying, and I'm being kind of silly about it, but I'm trying to make a point. This is what I'm talking about, is this is the time for us to start being like Jesus. This is the time for us to start denying our flesh, like that Korean woman I was talking about in the blog post, Esther Ahn Kim, who started practicing denying her flesh, started living holy before she got persecuted because she knew it was coming. She knew she was going to be thrown in prison. She was a leader of the house church movement in Korea under the Japanese occupation, and she knew she was going to be arrested, and she realized she got to toughen up or she wasn't going to survive her prison camp experience. And that was inspiring to me to read her story and think, you know what, maybe not coulda, shoulda, you know, guilt and condemnation, but just keeping it real, maybe it's time for me to toughen up a little bit in my battles against temptation.
And I appreciate even the way you're delivering that. I 100% agree. You think about it, self-control is a fruit of the Spirit. And I often say on this show, Kristen, that even just partial fasting is wise. It's important for us to say no to our flesh and make our flesh deal with it. And I hope you've listened often enough to know I'm with Kristen on this. This is not a condemnation. This is not a legalistic thing. But under the guise of quote-unquote grace, many shun any kind of physical discipline. And not that you can add to the work of Christ, but this is good. I mean, didn't Paul say, I buffet my body and I make it my slave? I notice for me, when I just engage in a certain partial fast once in a while, well, I'll say this week I'm not going to eat after this time, and I'm going to just keep the TV off, and I'm going to use that extra time to engage on a deeper level, I always come out richer. You know, anything I give up, I feel like I gain many times over, and just that little bit of pressing into God. That's really what we're talking about, isn't it?
Yeah, making that choice to desire Him above all else. One of the things I think I'm actually kind of, if it doesn't sound wrong to say this, I'm actually kind of looking forward to persecution. Just in one sense, in that I think that when it happens, we as Christians will stop taking shots at each other
Amen.
And start standing together because we won't have so many friends that we can afford to shoot each other.
Wow.
I think we will have to be grateful for anybody who stands with us.
Oh, wow.
And these are the kinds of things that it's time to start doing now, to start loving one another, start encouraging one another. If we aren't already, and we are, on some level we are, but you know what I'm talking about.
Yes,
some of the little squabbles we get into about whether or not you can wear yoga pants and still be a Christian,
yeah,
or
please.
Whether or not you can do this and that or the other, the way that we judge each other and the way that we kind of go off on each other about dietary things, or, you know, it's time for us to start living what we say we believe and loving one another and keeping our eyes on the skies, persevering.
Indeed, indeed. Love it. And you're speaking my language, dear sister. I love it. All right. So when we come back, we're going to offer some encouragement, some scripture that'll just encourage you if you're walking through the valley. And some of the benefits of the battle, they're there. And what does perseverance produce in you? We're going to talk about that, too. We welcome your calls, your questions, comments, 877-933-2484. 877-933-2484. Don't go away. We'll be right back. Friend is the truth. Thanks for tuning in. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise, talking to Kristen Ditchfield. about the kingdom that cannot be moved, about perseverance. When we're in the battle, it seems like we're being tossed to and fro, but the rock remains, and we stand on that solid rock. In fact, Hebrews 10:23 says, "Let us hold fast to the profession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful." You know, Christian scripture talks about endurance produces character, and character produces hope. How have you found that to be true, and why is that true? That I understand why endurance and perseverance produce character, but then how does character produce hope? What do you think?
Well, you know, I've looked at that scripture, and part of that hope is it's that joyful and confident hope of our salvation. And I think the more our character grows, the more experience we have. I think the longer you walk with Jesus, the more that character matures and develops, the more experience you have, the more that hope is founded, and the more you don't fade when the heat comes. You don't get so distressed by every wave. You begin to say, you know what, I have been here before. I have seen these things happen. I know that God is faithful. I have been through much worse than this, and God has seen me through. And I think that that's one of the joys of getting older. I'm beginning to find benefits to this.
Mm-hmm.
I'm beginning to get older and then to see some benefits. And one of them is to say, you know what? I've been through a lot of garbage over the years, and God has seen me through every bit of it. And that gives me confidence that whatever garbage is ahead for me, he will see me through that too. I begin to have confidence and begin to have hope that, you know what, no matter what, he is with me. He's never failed me. And no matter how ugly it is, no matter how dark it is, no matter how difficult it is or painful, there's a way through this.
And don't you think it really does give you a new eternal perspective in that if we kind of got our way and things went our way, where we didn't have much trouble, we would make this world our home and we would stop living and searching for eternity. Where I feel like what it does is, to me, even physical battles, but any kind of trial like that, shows you the brevity of life and the fragility of life. And it's like, I want to make life count. You know, I'm Lyme's disease survivor. My husband's a cancer survivor. And we both, having gotten sick in our young adult life, feel deeply passionate about making the day count. And that matters. And I really don't want you to have to go through a crisis to get there. But the Bible does say, teach us to number our days, that we may gain a heart of wisdom. So I just want you to talk, if you would, about what it means to appoint the day and to reckon the day, because life down here is short and eternity is long.
That's right. You know, sometimes it's really hard for us to kind of grasp what eternity is and to really grasp what heaven will be like and some of these rewards that Jesus talked about. You know, he talked a lot about the rewards that await us, and we don't talk about them much because, I guess partly because we don't want to focus too much on the gifts and not the giver, and that's good, but also because we can't really wrap our heads around what those rewards are. But Jesus talked a lot about the rewards that there are in store for us when we persevere and press on.
Yeah.
And just that this world is not our home, it's not forever. And yet sometimes we get so invested in it, like this is all that there is, it's all that counts. But one day the scripture tells us it's going to be destroyed. And I love what 2 Peter 3:11-15 says. It says, since this world is going to be destroyed, what holy and godly lives you should live, looking forward to the day of God and hurrying it along. On that day, he'll set the heavens on fire and the elements will melt away in flames, but we're looking forward to the new heavens and the new earth he's promised, a world filled with God's righteousness. So, dear friends, while you're waiting for these things to happen, make every effort to be found living peaceful lives that are pure and blameless in his sight. And remember that God's patience, and the fact that he's not come back yet, means that he's giving people time to get saved. You know, that should be our focus. He's given people time to get saved. So what are we doing to help them find him while we wait?
Yeah. And even I remember Paul writing about how his trial really encouraged other people's faith. I remember thinking it was in his imprisonment, I think, that others found strength through his trial. I remember writing in the margin of my Bible, are people strengthened because I have struggled? And that's just worth asking. Or are they seeing me rant and rave and, you know what I'm saying? Or am I inspiring faith in them? And there's something about that as we press in and God does something, I mean, you don't even realize, Kristen, when you're opening your mouth to speak, out of it is a wellspring of life because you've been digging and digging and mining the treasures in the dark place. Well, now they come out of you because you've been mining those treasures. And I mean, that to me is profound.
This is our opportunity to get to know Jesus. It's through these hard times that we get to know him. You know, and it's through these dark experiences. There have been some songs. They're right on the tip of my tongue. I know some of our listeners are thinking of them right away, but it's through those storms and through those dark times that we experience his presence and experience his power. And if we never were in those dark places, we wouldn't know how strong his light is. We wouldn't know how powerful, how loving, how compassionate he is. And it's because of these experiences that we have the privilege of getting to know him on such a deeper level. And I'm so grateful for that. It really is. I can say this genuinely from my heart, both through the physical things I've gone through and through the emotional and personal things that are kind of sometimes deeper and harder. It is so worth it, worth every tear we've cried.
Wow. Okay, here's some final thoughts from your blog post I want you to comment on before we pray here. You wrote, "Above all, we can love Jesus passionately and rejoice fervently. This world is not our home, and it was never meant to be. Slowly but surely, our attachment to it is weakening. We can enjoy the splashes of beauty we find in it, the glimpses of glory, but we're beginning to remember where our true hope lies. We're learning to keep our eyes on the skies, and that's a good thing. A very good thing." That is one of the benefits of suffering, is it loosens our hold on the earth and turns our eyes upward. Wonder if you could just encourage that person who feels so earthbound right now because their pain feels bigger than God's promises do right now.
You know, I remember hearing a story about a wise old woman who had been through so many different kinds of suffering and pain through her life, and somebody asked her if she had a favorite verse in the Bible, and without a moment of hesitation, she said, "Absolutely, and it came to pass." She said, "Because it reminds me that the troubles and the heartache and the sorrow of this life, they have come to pass, not to stay." Right? They came to pass, not to stay. It's a little tongue-in-cheek, but the reality is the pain and suffering of this life is temporary. It's come to pass. And if you think about, you know, how often are we saying, "I can't believe it's 2015 already. I can't believe Christmas is only a few months away. I can't believe how fast the kids have grown." Think about how quickly time has passed, how fast the years of your life have gone by. And in a blink, in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, he's going to be coming back for us. And we're going to experience the presence of God. And all of this pain and suffering is going to be not even a memory. We're going to experience his glory. We're going to see him face to face. That rider's going to be coming on that white horse, and his name is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And we can't even begin to imagine the hope that awaits us, the joy that awaits us, the things that he has in store for us. Yes, it seems so hard and so difficult right now, but by comparison, the scripture tells us it's light and momentary. And if we can just hold on, and you know what the amazing thing is, even on those days when we don't think we can hold on, I love this phrase in scripture when Paul says, I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. I keep in mind that, you know, I'm trying to hold on to him, but you know what? He's already taken hold of me, and he holds us fast, and he's not letting go.
Wow. It's such a good word. I'm trying to type something to Matt, so I'm going to just say it to you, Matt, in the mic, but strength of my heart, Ren Collective, and we're going to close with that. Just going to ask you to pray, if you would. What you're saying about that he is holding us, I just feel like it's such an important reminder for somebody listening today, and I just wanted to follow up those great words of encouragement with that song. But first, Kristen, would you pray for that
Absolutely.
Person, the Steves listening, who've walked a long time and really need a breakthrough?
Yes. Lord Jesus, I just pray right now for that listener who is struggling to hold on, who just feels like they're at the end of their rope and doesn't know how they can go on another day. Lord, I just pray that you would reach out and remind them in a deeply personal way that you love them more than they can understand, more than they can know, that you created them because you couldn't bear the thought of eternity without them, that you have a plan and a purpose for them, and that you are holding on to them so they don't have to worry. They don't have to hold on so tight out of fear, but they can hold on with hope, hold on in peace that you've got them and you are never going to let them go. Lord, I pray that you would remind them how much you love them, how much you care for them, and give them courage to keep on going one day at a time, one step at a time, one moment at a time. Give them the strength, give them the determination, give them the hope to carry on. Lord Jesus, we know it won't be long. Our eyes are on the skies. Lift our gaze.
Yeah.
Pry our fingers loose if necessary from the things that have distracted us, the things that keep us from focusing on you. Lift our gaze. Keep our eyes on the skies. And Lord Jesus, come quickly. We look to you. Our hope is in you. And it's in your precious name that we pray. Amen.
Kristen, thank you so much for your time today.
You're the strength of my heart.
Do you believe that? He is for you. He is for you. So glad you tuned in today. Hope you found some encouragement. Also, hope you got a fire in your belly to pray about what's going on in the world. So glad you tuned in. God bless you. We'll meet you back here next time.